Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Hey everyone, welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. Today I'm joined by Caleb Herron. You might have seen him on Twitter. He does a lot of POV videos. The one that got me hooked was, Caleb, correct me if I get the, if I mess up the title of it, but it's like, you're my coworker, or like, you're my friend and you did something wrong, but you think you did something right. And
yeah, something, I think it was like, maybe like affirming a friend who you know is in the wrong or something.
Yeah, that really had me on my knees. he's hot. He's a comedian. Caleb, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you for saying I'm hot. I didn't ask you to.
You knew
to say it.
You didn't. You did not threaten me with a lawsuit. If I didn't mention that.
Exactly.
yeah, that was one of those things that I like sent around to everybody. Though everyone had already seen it, but I was like, it's funny because it's true. You guys, it's funny because it's true. It's funny because it's
they're
true.
They're like, yeah, we got it, babe. Thank you.
Yeah, they're like, we saw it. Amazing. Yeah, that was funny because it was true. That was so funny.
I love to be fake. I love when people are fake to me. It's a really great way to move through the world. So I was happy to give homage to that.
It was beautiful. And also just like, I think the thing that sent it home for me was just the length of time that it went on. Sure. Was hugely, I think, appropriate. It's just like 4 minutes of being like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then but also, yeah, it's really brilliant. I'm not going to do it justice if I just sit here and repeat it. But yeah, you are funny.
Thank you.
Let's start from the beginning, I guess. How did you get to be so funny?
Oh my God, I use performance enhancement drugs. I am on steroids and it helps. I channel that rage into joke writing. I don't know. I mean, I always kind of joke that the best like comedy and acting school is growing up gay in a red state. And I think that's true for me, at least. I just think when you need to be in the closet, you spend a lot of time interrogating your perspective and like trying on different, like, who will I be this week instead of myself? And I think that it's helpful. And I think it helps you figure out like what other people are thinking and saying and how you need to behave. And it's a very good crash course in understanding like human behavior and response to things. So I think it probably started with being gay, and it's going to end with being gay if I have anything to say about it.
Wow, that makes sense to me. I'm wondering if what red state did you grow up in?
Missouri.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to the Show Me State. Come on,
that's real red.
Yeah, they do it very authentically over there. They like to keep it nice and conservative.
They are not fake in Missouri. They are really that red.
They're being themselves. And that is something you can't take from them.
It's beautiful.
And I tried.
That is beautiful. And when did you come out?
I came out to a couple of my close friends when I was in high school. And they were great, and I knew they would be great. And I came out to my close, like my family, my mom, my cool aunt, etc. when I was like, 19. Like basically it was right after my freshman year of college. And then I just, after everyone I felt like needed to know from me, I just posted a Facebook status and was like, everybody, I am bisexual. And then I just never posted the update that I think I'm actually just gay. So people probably still think I'm bi.
We are shedding that skin and we are fully gay now. Was it at the time of Facebook statuses where it would be like Caleb is, and then you'd have to fill it out? Like, so was it just like Caleb is bi?
No, I mean, this was like 4 years ago.
Oh, perfect. Oh, wow. We're like recent.
Yeah, so I guess it would have been like closer to 5 years ago, but no, it was like I had, honestly, this sucks so bad, but I went to like a youth leadership retreat and I got really inspired by it. And part of it was like living authentically, and I was like, fuck, I have to do that. Which is so corny and embarrassing, but that's what pushed me over the edge.
That's nice.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I mean, I like that it had that effect on you and not like, well, I guess I go marry a woman now. And
yeah, no, I mean, what it really was one of the, like, the head, like, leader of the camp was a black woman who is a lesbian. I believe she identifies as a woman and a lesbian, but she was so cool and she like was very out with us. And I was like, damn, there's just a level of being yourself that you can only be when you're fully out. And I was just like, you're never going to get there if you don't like just say this. So I was very inspired by Tanya is her name. And I just was like, it's time. And then I made a huge Facebook status about being bisexual, which is real, but not for me. And, you know, and then we did it.
I love that. I love that you were like, I am so inspired to be real. Hold on, I'm just going to lie real quick on this big Facebook status.
And the even sadder thing is I didn't think I was lying. I literally thought, I was like, I think I might, because I had so much like, I think I was just confusing like the reverence that I have for women. For being like I was like, well, if you respect women this much, there must be something
going
on.
You must be wanting to have sex with them.
it's like, yeah, honey.
Really funny.
That's further proof that you're just gay.
Right. One respect equals one gay, because we know that's not what we get from straight men usually.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. And then do you remember being a kid and like the first kind of time that you were like, oh, I'm funny? Like when you got laughter from like a joke, kind of going through your childhood, were you like, oh, this is something, like I can do this?
Yeah, I mean, there were enough times, like there were plenty of times growing up that I felt like I'm kind of funny, like I've got something going on. But there was definitely one, we had this babysitter who a meal she cooked for us was like cooked spaghetti noodles tossed in like Thousand Island dressing. And it was horrendous. It was so disgusting that I refused to eat it. And I, like, got in trouble. And then I, like, told my mom and a cousin of mine the story. And I was like, she served us slop. I felt like I was in prison. Like, telling the story, my mom and my cousin were laughing so hard they were crying. And then, like, for the next couple weeks, every time we saw someone, they'd be like, tell the story. And I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. I love getting attention. I love that people want to hear me talk. And so... then for a long time I thought I would be a lawyer, so it didn't really connect fully.
That's the same.
And then, you know, in college I was so tired of wanting to be a lawyer that I was like, I gotta do something else, this is horrible.
Usually it does come down to comedian or lawyer, at least, you know, for me.
Well, and some people,
for me too,
for yeah, sure. Some people don't even choose. There are so many lawyers that take improv classes in Chicago, and so many, like, yeah, it's
are they
so
funny?
Many comedians, you know what, I don't think that it's my place. I don't think some of them, yes, but then, you know, it's how, you know, it's interesting.
And a resounding yes on that. Lawyers can be funny.
You asked me, are the lawyers in Chicago that take improv classes funny? And I say, you know, I think it would be more productive to talk about healthcare. Where are we on healthcare?
People are dying, Kim, is what you would say to that. That is okay.
Let's pivot.
Well, I think your POV videos are so funny. I think the POV like genre that has kind of like emerged in the last year, there's like Ava Victor, you do them, like everyone does them. Some are better than others. I think yours are quite up there. I think they are the highest form of humor for me. Like, I will never not watch a POV video. Do you ever spend any time like thinking about what you're going to do, or does it just come to you and you just pull out your phone and you do it?
It depends. There are times when, like, for the, I did a dating my coworker, like, thread series of storytelling.
Yes.
And that took some logistical, like, I had to do a little bit of, like, I know where I want to start. I know where I want to end. I know, like, you know, that itself isn't a good enough concept. There has to be jokes that fill it up that are also their own concept. And so it was like, that was a little bit more work. And there are sometimes videos like I did one about a white celebrity addressing everything going on in the world.
Yes.
And that was the thing that I wanted to be a little more like intentional about because I wanted to get the tone right. But then there's times too when I just get on like that first one that got really big, that one we were talking about earlier, the talking to a friend who's wrong. Like I did one take of that on the side of a street in Chicago on my lunch break at work and just posted it thinking that it would get like, I was like, my friends will like this. It'll get 10 retweets.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's sometimes definitely that I just pull out a phone and start going, and it's fun both ways, but I think I try not to take Twitter videos too seriously because it's like, no one's paying me for it. You know what I mean? So it's like, we can kind of chill a little bit.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah, that's my biggest, my therapist is always like, you should spend less time on Twitter. I'm like, I don't understand. She's like, your mental health is low, and it seems to come a lot from like doom scrolling and like reading all this shit and like being on this really toxic website. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, Molly.
I don't think it is. No,
Molly, can't be that. Couldn't be that. It has to be something else.
Oh, I for sure try to like, I mean, I tell myself so many lies where I'm like, I'll read, you know, it's to the point now where if I post anything that's even vaguely political or something that has my face in it, either one or God forbid both, the replies are so awful. Like the shit that people say to you is so terrible that I'm like, but I tell these little lies to myself where I'm like, reading that stuff doesn't actually get to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, it does, bitch. You're a human being and that stuff is rancid. Like, yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah. It's hard. It is very, Twitter's horrible. It's like, it's a lot of basement trolls. It's a lot of like sexual harassment. The thing that I have employed for myself in the last like 4 or 5 years is like, cause I started out as a journalist. And so, there was a net, like if I ever printed a story or wrote a story rather that like didn't, a lot of stuff was about tech or like internet culture. And there'd always be like someone coming for me in the comments. And I still do it to this day because it's so funny. I just say to them like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like I can't read your tweet. It's blank. And then they like say it again. They're like, no, like you're a dumb slut, like cunt bitch. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I was, I don't know what's going on. Like you're sending blank tweets. And then they'll be like, they'll take a screenshot of their tweet and then they'll send it to me. I'm like, I still can't see anything. I think you're being censored. I think you're being censored on this platform. And there
the
are
deep few, state.
The deep state.
The deep state is censoring
you're being
you.
Censored. And I always go back and check like a few hours later. And like more than one time, this person is tweeting at Jack Dorsey being like, why are you selling? This is the freedom of speech. No one can see my tweets. I'm like, great. Okay. Got you off my back. You're now occupied.
You're on Jack.
Yeah. You're occupied elsewhere. Yeah. Twitter, like the internet in general is a horrible place. But is it worse to, I guess the answer, you've already kind of answered this. I was going to say, is it worse to bomb like IRL or like send out a tweet that like everyone's like, like no one like gets or like isn't funny or like no one responds to? Or are you like too big time now to not have any sort of reaction?
No, I mean, too big time. No, definitely not that. I think that everything on the internet feels less stakes for me because it's not where I spend my real energy. Like, I like internet stuff. I'm invested in internet culture. It obviously has been very good to me. Like having internet success or like people enjoying my comedy on there has been like important to me in getting things that I want and like, but I put way more importance in my own like self-worth and work. I spend more time on live comedy, characters, stand-up. Mm. So, anytime something that I love doesn't hit in real life on a stage, that actually hurts. And anytime something doesn't hit online, it's kind of just like, I'll delete anything. I don't care. Deleting stuff is easy for me. I have no qualms about it.
My therapist is probably like, Caroline, are you listening to this? This is a healthy person's relationship with online.
I love deleting stuff. And I mean, sometimes it like, some people really hate it. They're like, oh, to delete a tweet is so embarrassing. And I'm like, no, it's not because no one remembers.
Yeah, no
like,
one cares.
You just get rid of it and it's out of there.
No one cares that much.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, delete it. And also, like, why would you want, I don't know, like a diary of like your every dumb thought or like dumb commentary on the world, like just a public forum where you've just sent out a tweet and I don't know. I don't want that like harvested later for, not like I've said anything bad, but I probably had like bad opinions about like television shows that I don't want to like have to stand by, you know, 10 years later.
Oh, for sure. And I go back and like, you know, I've gotten to the point now where I'll work with someone who show ran or created a TV show that when I was in high school, I was tweeting like, this show fucking sucks. I hated whoever, you know what I mean? Like, and I'll go back and delete that shit where I'm like,
of course, that's the smart thing I'm like, to do.
I'm not going to get caught. Like,
if I ever meet the person who show ran this show, I swear to God,
kill them dead. Yeah. And it's got to be deleted. Like it's got to go.
So you recently moved to Los Angeles. You're pursuing a TV writing stint right now.
I'm currently writing for a TV show and, you know, doing all the other things that you have to do, sending self-tapes.
Love that.
Doing general meetings on Zoom, which is so weird.
That's fun.
Yeah, the fun stuff.
Yeah, doing some scripts, doing some treatments, you know.
Treatments, scripts, you know, yeah. Photo shoots, dodging the paparazzi at Walgreens.
I love that. Yeah, I did hear that. The paparazzi hide in the bushes behind the Walgreens near where you live, and they catch you.
Yeah. Yeah. Every Walgreens in North Hollywood is a dangerous place for me specifically.
Well, anything that you have been... What have you been watching lately? Are you watching Selling Sunset to get yourself acclimated to your new city? Because I know I've learned a lot.
No, I don't watch a lot of TV, and it's something people hate about me. But
wow, that's
fucked
up.
I know, people hate it. I'm such a movies person, and it's like every. I haven't seen any of the big ones. Like, it's not something I'm proud of. It's just the truth. Like, I'm trying to think. If you name a big TV show, Walking Dead, haven't seen it.
Oh,
the
yeah.
one where the guy sells drugs because he's a teacher.
That's Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, haven't seen it. You know, the one with the dragons and the old-timey war stuff.
Haven't seen that either. Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, okay. But I will say, I recently watched, in like a day and a half, I watched all of Righteous Gemstones during quarantine.
Okay.
Oh my God, it is so fucking good. Everyone in it's a star. It's incredibly written. It's so good.
Okay, so you like good TV. Because, like...
Yeah, I'm kind of a good TV
just
person.
Just, like, a little prestige television.
Sorry.
I mean, like, my big hitters are, like, Bravo shows. Like, that's it. And also, like, Forensic Files, which I talk about here all the time. I love Forensic Files. Can't sleep unless I'm watching a detective, like, solve a murder from 1976. It just soothes me.
I love a crime show. I did actually just, I've blown through the first two seasons of Dead to Me pretty quickly. That show's really good.
Really, really good. Yeah, so see, you watch TV. You just don't watch the TV that, like, people are hired to write recaps about.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Westworld, I don't even know what that's about. Game of Thrones, no. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like, I just watched Vanderpump Rules and Selling Sunset. I do recommend Selling Sunset if you want to learn a little bit more about your new habitat. It's really eye-opening. If you're in the market for a $45 million house, also, they seem to have...
I to be clear.
I figured you were. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back. Okay, we are back. Caleb, so I've been following you on Twitter for a while. You followed me back for I don't know why, and then I immediately accosted you. Like, I was actually very embarrassed by that action. I was like, hi, do you want to come on my podcast? Because I hate, like, who, like, those kinds of people are annoying to me, and now I have become one. So I really appreciate that you're here, because it's not like you, like, I just want to, like, for the record, you did not contact me asking to come on the show. I asked if you would come on the show.
And when I tell that story, I say, I begged Carol. I said, please put me on the pod. I DM'd you 15 times a day until you followed me back.
I honestly have the cops on standby because of how aggressive you were.
And you should.
I believe in defunding the cops, except for the cop that I'm going to send after your ass for this behavior. So I told you to bring something that you love and that you want to talk about and that you're excited about. And you emailed me back and said, can I talk about my Costco membership? And I said, oh my God, yeah, obviously. So let's hear it. You love your Costco membership. Talk about it with me.
I'm addicted to Costco, the store, and the brand. I love them. I don't even legitimately know. I should have looked up my receipt, but I don't even legitimately know how much I paid. I got like the gold level membership. Like I went for the big one so that my roommate could have, because when you do that, you get like another pass for someone else. Like wow. they get their own card.
It's like Disney.
So I wanted my roommate to have one. I love it. Costco has everything you could ever want. The only drawback is that everything is sold in bundles of 17,000. So you have to be really careful. If you want a rotisserie chicken, you have to get a farm of them.
You have to adopt several.
You can buy single rotisserie chickens, but you can't even buy like a package of, like I took a friend one time and he got my friend Chance got a package of muffins, and we got to the checkout and she was like, sorry, you have to get two or three of these at a time. Like we can't. I was like, just charge half, babe. Like, yeah. What's going on?
Ma'am, that's 27 muffins. I am but one human.
And who's going to eat them all? Because right. I can't get through 27 muffins in a week.
21, maybe. 27, that's crazy.
It's too much. The extra six is too much.
Costco is great for bulk shopping, though. And it's I kind of went full throttle when I moved to LA as well, because now you kind of have space and I assume you have a car. Like, yeah. Changes the game. When you can load up the trunk with 72 paper towel rolls, mm-hmm. You just feel this kind of power.
Yeah.
I can't.
Coursing through your veins.
In New York, you don't have room for that, and you can't carry 72 rolls home on your own. So you're sort of stuck buying like the one every like week or so. Costco really changes it. But yeah, like, and also you kind of go in thinking it's cheap, but then you're like, oh, I spent $900.
Do yourself a favor. Even if you live in a place like New York, once a month, once every 2 months, rent a car, go to New Jersey, do whatever you have to do to make this happen. But get a Costco membership. Anybody in the world who lives near Costco. And if you don't live near Costco, it's time to move. Mm-hmm. Get a Costco membership. I don't work for them, by the way, yet. And go get like, peanut butter, soap, toilet paper, dried goods like nuts, dried fruit, soup, that all that kind of stuff.
Love it.
Go get a ton of it. And then, you know, you supplement that by doing like a weekly or a biweekly trip to like a regular grocery store, like a Jewel Osco or a Ralph's or a Westside Market or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get your little salad, you get your little dairy products.
Right. Yeah, you're like perishables. Yeah, you're right. Because like, you can get like a 10-pound bag of flour at Costco and be good for a long time.
Yeah. Cheaper, get your mouthwash, your ketchup, all that stuff.
Right, your mouthwash and your ketchup. You really do. This is like POV. I work at Costco and I'm upselling you on the membership card.
Yeah, POV. I'm about to be an SVP at Costco.
What is the best thing that you've ever bought at Costco? Forget all the like, you know, the basics that it's so good for. But you know how like they sometimes have these like random things where you're like, why is this at Costco? But I'm going to buy them. What have you purchased?
A rack of ribs.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
They have for like $16 or $17 a hot rack of ribs in the rotisserie chicken section that is so good. They're just yummy. It's a good price for a full rack of ribs. You go, you get all your groceries, and then you pick up a rack of ribs, and you're like, this is what I'm going to have for dinner tonight.
Wow.
It's incredible. Also, the rotisserie chicken. There's a little area in the back of my Costco that has rotisserie chicken, rack of ribs, and then in the little cooler next to it, they have, like, shrimp cocktail, some little pre-made tacos, salad situation. It's incredible.
Do you go to the one in Silver Lake or Atwater Village? Is that the same one? Do you guys have one in North Hollywood?
I'm between two Costcos. There's one in North Hollywood proper, I think, that is like a business center. Don't go there because they have less food and more like reams of paper and shit. It's not disappointing.
Rude.
Not what I need. And then, so what I actually go to is the one in Burbank.
Burbank's a good one.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. My only complaint is that it's too busy all the time. Too busy.
Yeah. What have you discovered? Funnily enough, the first time I went to Costco in LA was when everyone was starting to panic shop for the pandemic. This was like the end of February. People were like, it was like Black Friday. People were like gunning it, you know, because Costco carts are also like 6 feet wide. Like they're massive. And people were running with their 6 foot wide carts towards the water and the toilet paper. And I was like, and then one woman zooms past me and her entire cart is croissants, like filled to the top with croissants. And I was like, I want to go home with you. But people were going nuts and it was so, so busy. But to me, it didn't feel that busy because in Brooklyn, there is one Costco and it is always that busy. So I was just like, oh, yeah, this is really normal. But like, I haven't been back to Costco since before this pandemic, because every time I pull, and I've gone and I've been like, okay, today is the day, and you like get yourself all hyped up. But then I pull in the parking lot and it's packed.
And yeah, people and are then like, you turn around and go home.
Yeah, I turned around and went home twice. Yes. Have you done that too, or have you braved it yet?
Oh, I've braved it and I've done that. There are times if I, basically my rule is there's two areas right inside the parking lot where like there's a loop to the right that's like the little small parking lot next to the doors. Mm-hmm. If I find a spot there, I'm going in. If I find a spot in the other side, there's like another side that's also a little small area that's like, those are the two areas where I've decided if it's full, the store is nuts. And if there's more than one spot or at least one spot, it's probably not as nuts. And that's just my little rule. And anytime I've gone and both those have been full, I've left, because I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not fighting with an old woman whose cart is in my way. I can't.
Yeah, it does require like a level. It has to be like your like a Costco trip feels like it has to be like your one activity of the day, because it just sucks you dry of energy. Like I get tired by the time I leave. But also you can also walk out with like a Dyson like air purifier, and then you can walk out with like 6,000 pens. Like they have it all. But yeah, it can't be one of those situations where you're like, "Oh, I'll just like pop in and like see what's the haps at Costco." Like you have to be ready to go.
Yeah, it's not a pop in and out situation. Mm. And what would really change the game for me, honestly, is if they had like two or three self-checkout lines. And I don't want them to do that because they pay their employees really well and they're good to their employees. So I'm like thankful they don't. But sometimes I do just want to, I would just run in and grab like two things if I could check myself out. But those lines.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that actually would be a really great idea.
But if, and I know the people who run Costco are going to listen to this because they're going to hear about how hard I went for them. If you're listening, don't do it, even though I want it, because it's just more important that you have the cashiers who are so nice and good at their job.
Yeah, everyone at Costco is so nice. And everyone knows where everything is.
It's because they're being treated well. Like, another thing, I don't feel guilty about, like, shopping at Costco for the most part, because I'm like, I know they treat their employees well. They're all, like, part owners. They don't have to wear some ridiculous, like, costume to work. They're just, like, chilling.
I think they were, I'll correct myself if I'm wrong, but I feel like they were kind of early on the PPE train too. Like they got things set up and quickly. Also you can get glasses at Costco. You're a glasses wearer. I'm a glasses wearer. Get your eyes checked at Costco.
They have a glasses center. They have flat screen TVs, refrigerators.
Right, diamonds. They have jewelry. They have fine jewelry.
They have smart watches, they have cell phones, clothing, they have literal wardrobes.
Yeah, Christmas trees.
Patio furniture. Our patio furniture, my roommate and I have two reclining chairs on our roof that are from Costco.
I love that. We have a fire pit that's from Costco. You have to. It is the best. It is truly, truly the best. Was there anything that you were like, oh, maybe I'll bring this, but that got hit down the list when you realized you wanted to talk about Costco?
No, because I have like literally no products that I care about. And that's not me being like, I'm outside. Like I love shopping for like clothes and things, but that's not important. And I'm not a watch wearer. My phone is just like your standard iPhone. Mm-hmm. I will say I don't even know the brand of it. I'm using it right now. Allsop, Allsop. It's a laptop stand that is really great because it, the legs are adjustable and they make it like different angles.
Oh, wow. So you can really play up your angles.
Yes.
I love
that. So I use it when I'm doing this kind of stuff. And also when I'm on my like, I have a monitor on my work desk. And so the dual screens of it is nice because it's up on the same level.
Wow. You know? Yeah. No, that is really nice. I keep forgetting like, because I know that I'm working from home, but everyone's working from home. I don't know. For some reason, I feel like the world is... Sometimes I do look outside and I'm like, I feel like people forget we're like still doing this. But yeah, I mean, you were working all day, but you were working from where you're sitting right now.
I was working all day from where I'm sitting. I do. Every time we have a break, I try to switch my location.
Wow.
Because I just get so like, either I'm sitting on my bed and I'm like, oh, I want to go to sleep, or I'm sitting in the living room and I'm like getting hot from the window sun. You know how it goes.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. And we're right now, two new Los Angelinos in the midst of like what is apparently the worst weather time. Like everyone warned me about September everyone was like, September's really bad. It's really hot. And everyone you know in the Midwest and in the East Coast is going to be like, oh, like cozy sweaters, like, oh, like apple pick. Yeah. And you're going to be sweating your balls off. And I'm not excited about it.
I am really already, like, I, even today, I was missing fall. I'm like, I cannot believe that I'm not going to have a Midwestern or, like, Northeastern fall.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. I love fall so much. It's my favorite. It's, like, the worst part of moving to LA. I'm like, seriously, I'm going to have to find a way to not work for a month or two so I can just go, like, live with my mom or something.
Yeah. Are you, would you consider yourself, like, a basic fall bitch? Where you, do you love, like, a flannel and a soup?
Oh, I love a flannel. I love a soup. I love like a pumpkin drink or soup. I love a butternut squash soup in the fall. Wow. You know that's true.
That's amazing.
I love a bonfire. I love a hayride. Yeah. I mean, don't. Yeah, I'll do all of it.
We're in the land of none of that. That is really terrifying. That was the thing that made me so depressed because I was like, oh, I can't. I'm going to go home. You know, to experience the beauty of like the 3 weeks in the Northeast that's like gorgeous and amazing and the leaves. And now I'm just going to be here in the sun.
I am going to do my absolute best to like COVID willing and all that stuff. Go home for like maybe even 2 full weeks for Thanksgiving because I really want to be in that weather.
Now tell me about, because you flew here mid-pandemic to move from Chicago to LA. You didn't? You drove?
No, I drove.
Were you on a plane for something, though? Because I feel like I did. I feel like you were on a plane.
We drove our cars in a moving truck out with our moms when we moved. But then I
love that.
Very randomly had a filming project in London right after we got here. So
you can't drive. You can't drive to London.
No, they wouldn't let me. I tried.
Yeah, Lord knows you tried. That is. So what was that experience like flying?
It was psychotic. I mean. I truly would have, I don't know if I would have, I don't know if I would have turned it down, but I really wouldn't, I would have turned it down if I was going to have to fly economy because I was like, not because I'm like above economy, that's all I ever fly, but I was like, because of the virus, I do not want to be close to people I don't know on a plane for 12 hours.
Feels fair, feels fair.
But luckily first class there and back was in the thing, so I was like, there'll be distance, which is good, and I won't like have to be next to anybody, which is so nice, and it'll be a smaller cabin, so... That made me feel a lot safer. And then the production itself was so safe. And I felt the safest I felt during COVID was being on set over there.
I was going to say, not in America? How crazy. That's so unexpected.
I wish I could have stayed.
You should have just like tried to 90-day fiance yourself and gotten a K-1 visa and been like, I can't. I'm not coming back. Was the flight full?
No.
Oh, wow.
So empty. It was like, I mean... I wasn't really paying attention, but I on the way there, I think maybe 20 people on the whole flight. And then on the way back, it was like, and this is a humongous plane. And then on the way back, it was like truly 7.
Wow. Wow. 7 yeah. people.
Crazy.
That is crazy. We are going to take another quick break and we will be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, we're back. So Caleb, you love Costco. Did you grow up with a Costco or is this is new?
No, yeah, no Costco for us.
Wow, I love that.
Growing up because we were so far from everything. I mean, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Missouri, so no Costco for us.
Mm.
I know there were some families, we also grew up pretty poor, so... we weren't doing this, but there were some families that had like Sam's Club and Costco memberships in like one of the cities that was like an hour and a half away from us, and they would do like monthly like trips to those places, but never us.
Wow, so this is really kind of your first rodeo.
I'm a grown adult with my own Costco membership, and it's been huge.
That is really exciting. That is really, really exciting, and truly nothing more LA like than bulk shopping and driving your car around with all your paper towels.
Yeah, drive your car places, and in Chicago, I didn't have a car. I just took transit everywhere, so grocery shopping was, I went to the grocery store like four times a week because I was just like, it's a good walk.
Right. It's the same with New York too, because you can only carry, like, I remember I would go in with tote bags. I remember, this was like 7 months ago. I remember I would go in with tote bags and you fill them up and just kind of guess like how much weight you can carry home. Like, you can't just put things in a cart because you don't know what that's going to feel like on like a 15. But I mean, there's just so much that you don't have to calculate in Los Angeles. And again, mom, if you're out there listening, like, I love you so much and I'll definitely come home soon. And there's nothing good about LA. I can't get over the car thing. So this was, you bought a car when you got out here? Was that like the first thing you did?
I drove out. I bought a car at the beginning of pandemic in Chicago because I was like, I know I'm going to move to LA and I may as well have it for the pandemic so we can like get out of the city if we need or want to. And then I drove that out here and then I immediately sold it to a friend because I was like, I don't like this car and I don't want to have it for much longer.
What kind of car was it? Can I ask?
It was a 2011 Ford Focus.
Oh, wow.
Blue, cute. It was cute, but it was like small for me. I'm a big guy. I'm tall and fat, so I really need, you know. So I sold it to my friend who also had just moved out here. And then I just like a week ago bought a new car.
Oh my God. Okay. So look at you.
Ready to get something new. So now I have a little bit spacier car, which is nice.
That's really nice. We have a Honda Fit, which I really, really like. But we're two people and we have one car between us, which we were like, oh, maybe we'll have to get two cars. Thank God we didn't. It's not like we're going anywhere. We definitely don't need two cars to just sit outside. But like, I did have this sort of like Lauren Conrad dream of like driving a little convertible around Los Angeles. But I might have to save that.
I almost talked myself into getting a convertible because I was like, you're young. You're a new car. You just moved to California.
You're so hot. You're so funny. Get a convertible.
You're hot. You're funny. You're young. And then I was like, the insurance is going to be more.
It's
not practical. Like, just don't do it.
Why is the insurance more on a convertible?
I guess maybe someone can fact check me. Someone in the replies could tell you that I'm wrong. But I think that the insurance on convertible, because they're considered sports cars, which are considered high risk.
Oh, okay. Fair. I was like,
Go ahead. I've always been told that they're more expensive for insurance and I've just believed it. I've never like researched it, I guess.
So I feel like that's kind of the same lie that my parents used when I was like, I want a Jeep Wrangler, and they would say something like, it has a high tip over rate, which like I don't think is like a real thing, but they were like, no, you can't, the tip over rate. And I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then like, I feel like in my late 20s, like a bunch of people who like also were in high school in 2002, like got together and they were like, wait, did your parents say that there was a high tip over rate? Like no, like it's not a real thing. It's like another, it's like a parenting handbook, like trick. But yeah, I feel like maybe I'm definitely going to research this on convertibles because I think your logic makes sense. Like a sports car, it would be considered more high risk.
You know what? I think also the big thing is that I dream of a world where we get back to normal life and I get to pile my friends into a car and go on a vacation together.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, a convertible wouldn't be good for that. Mm. And
not good for also, Costco trips either. Cause you couldn't fit that much in the back.
Can't fit that much in the back. I mean, my roommate has a Toyota 4Runner, which are huge. So if I really wanted to, I could just always take that to Costco. But which was another thing is my roommate Shelby, who's also a very funny comedian, she was like, get a convertible. If we ever need to like go on a trip or go to the store, we can take my car. And I was like, bitch, you're not being helpful.
I love all of these enablers in your life. Like, I need more in mine. This is an invitation for all of my friends to start enabling me to do worse things.
I only keep people around who will tell me what I want. That's the major key.
Yeah, that's in the contract. So what car did you end up with?
I got a Kia Soul.
Cute.
It's a little roomier. And the other thing, too, is I was like, maybe I'll get like a this year version of the first car I had, which was a Chevy Equinox. It's kind of a bigger SUV.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, the gas mileage is crazy bad.
Yeah.
So I really settled on something that's like midsize, really good gas mileage, cute little car.
Yeah. And plus, you were driving the Equinox when you were bi, and you know, you're not bi anymore.
I was driving the Equinox when I was straight. Let's not get that mixed up.
There you go. You definitely
can. I was dating girls in the Equinox, so had to go. Had to get out of here.
The haunted Equinox.
Bad vibes in the Equinox.
It's really funny. Well, tell me, so you have the gold membership at Costco. Do you remember what you paid? And do you and your roommates split the membership?
We don't split the membership. I think I paid like $120 or $150 one time, and I think that's for 6 months or something.
Wow.
I forget how much it was, but regardless, it's such a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's worth it.
I love having a Costco membership, and I think, I don't know, and I will fact check myself and I'll just cut this out of the podcast if it's a lie, but I think there's a thing that's like, if you don't make back, if you don't save the amount, you're nodding, so you know this too. It's like, if you don't save the amount of money that it costs you to get the membership, they like refund you.
Yeah, they're like, if you don't, yeah, if you don't get back the amount of money, he explained it to me, but I didn't really pay attention.
You're just like nodding. You're like, yeah, okay.
He's like, come back in 6 months. We'll check your receipts. If you didn't, blah, 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 like, we'll refund you the full amount. I was like, cool. I trust that that's a good deal. I don't need to listen.
Yeah. And I think that Costco has like a really wonderful return policy based on every time I go to Costco, there's always like a really long line of people standing there with like TVs that have obviously been used, like
right.
People aren't coming in with like new inbox stuff. They're like, yeah, I've, you know, been watching this TV for like 10 years and I'm returning it now, and they're like, okay,
I don't like it anymore. Yeah, so.
no thank you. Caleb, this was so much fun to have you on the show. I'm really, really glad that you gave me an hour of your time.
Duh, thank you for having me. This was a blast.
If you guys don't follow Caleb on Twitter, you really, really should. So much of his stuff is funny because it's true, and it, you know, super hashtag relatable content.
If you don't follow Caleb on Twitter, you're going to prison, babe. I'm sorry to say.
That's true.
They're not gone yet, and you can still go to one.
We are, again, not defunding the cops until all of you are in jail for not following Caleb on Twitter. And I will say that as much as I love the, like, talking to a friend who is wrong but doesn't think they are wrong, when you mentioned it, your entire, like, multi-part saga of, like, dating the coworker when the story never really climaxes, which is, like, the best part of the bit, is so, I'm glad to hear that. That was hard work paid off, because that was like masterful comedic art.
Thank you. Well, maybe I'll finish it someday. Who knows?
Maybe it is. Maybe the unfinished is the finished, you know, just like.
Thank you. Exactly. Yes. Thank you.
Deep thoughts that I have. Everyone, you have just listened to Do Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you need to buy next. You can follow it on Instagram. Do Thanks Just Bought It Pod. And new episodes are every Friday. Caleb, thanks for coming. I will link to all of these wonderfully funny videos in the show notes. And if you love Costco, or if you don't love Costco, I would love to hear from you. So go on the Facebook group, just search G Thanks, and you will, it will pop up just automatically like Facebook always does.